Welcome to The Laundry Hour, a podcast encouraging stay-at-home moms to fulfill their God-given and extraordinary purpose in their seemingly ordinary lives. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Hey ladies, welcome to another episode of The Laundry Hour. I hope that if you have been with me since the beginning of this year, that this love series has been blessing your life and your heart and your relationship with God and your husband and your children, but now also your church. And if you are new to this, I hope that this is beneficial, encouraging, convicting, beautiful, all of that good stuff. And I hope that you hear the recorder in the background as one of my daughters playing it. but we're just gonna get going. And so I wanted to spend time talking about loving your church, but also more importantly, loving the church. And so I guess we're gonna start with loving the church first in this episode. And I just wanted to go straight to Acts 2 because that's where we see the church, like, have their first amazing, uniting experience that, like, unifies them in truth and in love. Now, obviously, we've seen the church prior to this because we've already seen disciples gathering together with Jesus. But this is the first moment after Jesus has ascended to heaven that we see them together and we see what happens when they're together. Now, granted, this is a unique experience, but still, I think this is still an amazing model for us to understand why we're the church, what makes us the church, and what we do as the church. And so I appreciate how, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. I appreciate the headings, and I'm gonna kinda walk through those three headings today. The first heading is the coming of the Holy Spirit. And if you have, give me 1 second, I think I'm gonna sneeze. Thank you, excuse me. If you look at that first half, or I guess the first third, when the Holy Spirit comes, like, this is a powerful experience, like, to the point where some people are like, what's going on? Other people are like, oh my gosh, excuse me, I hope I don't do that this whole time. Other people are like, oh my gosh, what is happening? How are they speaking in my own tongue? Like, okay, I need to change something so that this does not continue, because that's not cool. But like, what is going on? This is amazing. Like, if you were not in that room at that moment, you probably, like, you know how people are like, yeah, you should have been there. Like, you can probably tell people about it, just like we're reading about it, and it's cool to read about it or cool to hear about it. But there is just something different about experiencing something with a group of people that doesn't happen often, you know? Like, I was a theater major, and I love live theater. Like, there's nothing like it. Like, watching a movie or a TV show, like, that's nice, but it's the same thing. But live theater, you know, like, you're experiencing this fleeting moment with this group of people, and it unites you in some way. Like, oh my gosh, you remember that part? Like, nobody knows what that's like, really, but the people that were there. And so I think that is amazing that not only, obviously, are they given the Holy Spirit in this moment, but God has given them this amazing, uniting experience that bonds them. I think about, I am not in a sorority, but I think about, like, sororities and fraternities and stuff, and, like, the, you know, the bonding experiences that they go through. that nobody else knows about except for the people that experienced it. And it links them in a way that those of us on the outside do not understand. And having these kinds of conversations, I'm like, that is something interesting. That is something special. And that's why they have this bond, this sisterhood, this brotherhood, because they have gone through something together. I'm going to give another example. out of the four of our parents, like my parents and then my husband's parents, my husband's mom, we have gone through the hardest transition with her. And our first year of marriage was really difficult. Hard conversations, lots of tears, everybody, just her adjusting to her son being married, us adjusting to us being married, us adjusting to just the different dynamics of, like, from mom to husband to wife to daughter, and all of those things. And it was just a really rough first year. Not to say that we don't have any hard moments now, but those hard moments have paid off because we know where we stand. We have gone through something together. And I think we are closer now because of it. So basically, there's something to say about a powerful uniting experience between a group of people. Now, put on top of that, obviously, the Holy Spirit coming is so much better than a live theater performance, so much better than a sorority or fraternity, and so much better than, you know, getting closer with your mother-in-law. Now, all of those things are good, but the Holy Spirit came in that moment. And I love what Acts 1:8 says about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit came to give them power. You will receive power when my Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So we see in this beginning part of Acts 2 that this power from the Holy Spirit is what unites them in this experience, because it was the Holy Spirit's coming that they all, you know, experienced. So then I want to move on to Peter's sermon. So this, the Holy Spirit comes down, people are confused, people are wondering what's going on, why did the Spirit come? The Spirit came to give them power to witness. In that moment, they were speaking in different languages to explain to the other Jews that were in Jerusalem for Pentecost what happened to this man named Jesus. So think of it kind of like a conference. Everybody came to Nashville to learn something or participate in some event, but the people who didn't live here didn't know what happened in Nashville a week ago. And a week ago, the Son of God, you know, was crucified and rose, and this is amazing, and we need to stake our lives on this. And so these people have come. Some people might have heard about Jesus, some people might not have, but they're all together in this place. This Holy Spirit comes down, and now they have power to actually be witnesses. They legitimately have power to speak in a tongue that they've never learned before, to explain to these people that Jesus is the Son of God, and this is what happened last week when you weren't here. Okay, so we've got this powerful uniting experience where the Holy Spirit comes and all of these people are witnessing this moment. Then Peter, empowered by the Spirit, gives this sermon that convicts all of those people there with the truth about who Jesus was. Like, he's revealing the scriptures to them so that they can see he is the one that we have been waiting for. He gives them this truth, and they say, oh, I can't forget this verse because it's an amazing one. And it says in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They were cut to the heart. The same power that came upon them, that gave Peter the ability to preach that sermon, is the same power that cut them in the heart. so that they can repent and believe in Jesus. So before we talk about church and who we are and what we do, I think it's crucial to remember that we have been united together by the Holy Spirit and by the truth of God. That is why we gather. That is why we are united. That is why we are the church. That's why we're a part of God's body. That's why He has a body. Like, because the Holy Spirit came to empower us to be witnesses, to be rid of sin, but also because of the truth that Jesus is the Son of God and this is where salvation comes from. Those two things together, the truth and the power of the Holy Spirit together, is like, this is going to be weird, go with me. It's basically like an egg and a sperm. And together they form a baby. Right? They form like this embryo fetus thing that grows and is birthed into a human and then birthed into like a mature man or female. But both of those things are critically essential for like the birth of a part, like a church member. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying like, oh yeah, I'm a church member because I have signed my name on this paper. No, I'm a church member because the power of the Holy Spirit united with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and both of them took place, cut me in the heart, and I have now repented and baptized, and I have been baptized, and I put my faith in Jesus. That is the powerful, uniting, convicting, truth-working experience that has like birthed the church. Egg and a sperm came together. Holy Spirit and the truth of the gospel came together, and bitty bang boom. Then we get to the part where there's fellowship of believers. So if we're trying to fellowship with believers without having the power of the Holy Spirit and without having the truth of the gospel, then we are just gathering with a group of people. Let's just be honest. Like, if we haven't had that powerful, uniting, convicting experience where we went from not a human being to a human being, you know, like where the egg and the sperm are still separate, we're just hanging out with people. Like, honestly, just hanging out with people. And unfortunately, that's not going to cause any lives to change. But see what happens here when the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Christ come together in such an amazing way. Look at how it changed their lives. It said, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That is their response. That is their powerful response based on what they had just experienced, based on the coming of the Spirit, based on the convicting message given through Peter. These people put their faith in Jesus, and they became a part of this fellowship. And that's what they did. They devoted themselves. I think that is such a strong word. It's not that they just partook. It's not that they just went. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Like, this is, I have to do this. This is the most important thing. Like, I will do this with all of my life. awe came upon every soul, and the apostles were doing all of these wonders. They were all together, and they had all things in common. What does that mean? Going back, all of these Jews that came here for this, you know, convention in Nashville, they didn't live there. They didn't have food or homes or anything. They just brought probably what they needed to stay for, you know, the convention thing, conference, and then they were going to go home. But now I'm a part of this body. I want to stay and partake. I want to learn. I want to be here, right? So the people who lived here were like, come, stay in my home. Come here. Let me get rid of this thing because this doesn't matter. You matter. And I don't need 17, I don't know, horses because I need more beds for you to sleep. Yes, come. Like, it wasn't even a let me question it. It was just like, yes, this is what needs to happen because this experience that we had, this truth that we know is worth everything. Is worth much more than these things. Like, I want to spend time with you because day by day they're going to the temple together. Like, I'm devoted to this word. I'm devoted to you. Let's go there together every day, and then let's eat together every day, and then let's be glad and thank the Lord for this every day. And then every day the Lord added to their number, so now more and more people are coming, and then more and more people are giving and sharing and continuing to go together. Like, can you see the devotion? Like, day by day, every day, that's what they did. That's who they were. Why? Not because they were just partaking and going to some place. No, but because they had a powerful experience with the Holy Spirit. And they were convicted by the truth of the gospel. And those two things is what birthed in them a love and a unity that changed how they lived and they devoted themselves. Like, I am for this. I have consecrated myself. I've given myself over to this because of the truth and because of the power that I have experienced with these people. That is the church. That is a picture of something very different than at least what I experience on a daily basis. Maybe you experience that, and if you do, tell me where you live so I can come. But this is like something my husband and I have been praying for, been talking about, been studying, been searching, been wanting, been going after. We want to experience this. And I guess to experience the fellowship, and I think we're going after the fellowship, we first need to experience the Spirit, and we need to experience God's truth. And if we don't have those things, we cannot truly get to the fellowship. So if you're like me, looking for a true community, looking for a biblical gathering, let's go back a step. Let's go back to experiencing the Holy Spirit and experiencing the power of the gospel. That's going to birth in us something so amazingly wonderful that we will devote ourselves in a way that we will, you know, get to partake in the thing that we desire the most. So, if that is you, I would like to pray for you. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the truth that is in it. We thank you for the Spirit that has come. We thank you for the love that you've shown us, that we have your word, that we are a part of your family. And Lord, we just come to you desiring to experience you, to truly be convicted by your truth in such a way that we live devoted lives to you, God, because we deeply desire to be who you called us to be. We deeply desire to experience what you have for us, even if that does mean suffering. because we know that if it's in your will, you are with us, you will carry us, and truly being a part of you is more important and much better than anything else separate from you. So we are desiring to experience the fellowship that we read in your word. But we also understand that that is after experiencing the power of your spirit and experiencing the power of your word, convicting and changing us, cutting us in the heart. And so that only happens if you do it. We will put ourselves in your word. We will ask for your spirit to come. But we need you to do something in us, and we need you to do something in the believers around us, so that we can unite in love and in truth, as well as unite on mission, because that's why we have the Spirit in the first place, so that we can be your witnesses, so that you can add to your church day by day. God, we love you, and we need you very much. So please send your Spirit today. Please convict us by your word. Please change us and make us devoted women. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if that is not you, thank you for listening to this podcast and continuing, or if this is your first time, I don't know how you got here, but I'm very grateful that you are. I just want to say that I don't know you, but you could be desiring community, you could not be, you could be like, I'm experiencing it, you could be like, ugh, I try to get with the church, but they continue to, like, let me down, and this, that, and the third. Those are real concerns and real things that happen, but as a person that loves the Lord, we must love his church. Why? Because it's his body. He's the head. It's his body. And they are our family. We must love them. But at the same time, as we know, love is hard. Like, loving God is hard. Loving our husbands is hard. Loving our children is hard. Loving the church is hard. Why? Because we are sinful. And then all of those other humans are sinful. And then it's just difficult to do that. But just like we ask God to help us love him and our husbands and our children, we need to ask God to help us love his church. Now, again, it's loving the church, the believers. Eventually, we'll talk about your local church, but loving the church. I hope that today's episode was moving to your heart as it was mine. I truly pray that we would experience a cut in the heart that leads us to a deeper level of devotion to God and his church. And I look forward to next week, because I'm praying for some more power to come upon us as we talk about loving God's church through in our ways of being in our local church. But until then, I'll leave with you all 2 Peter 1 and 2. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ rest on you and your families. I love you. / I just remembered that I didn't ask you to subscribe or like or share because clearly my mind and heart are a little bit elsewhere. But yeah, if you want to do that, I'd like you to do that. If not, just tune in next week, and I look forward to talking with you. I love you all very much. Have a great week.